Welcome to Talks from the Bible. My name is Bill Thomas. I'm the minister at the South Commerce Street Church of Christ, and we welcome you to our program. We invite you to worship with us at the Church of Christ located at South Commerce Street on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for our Bible study, and again at 11 o'clock for our worship service. We also invite you to listen to our daily broadcast of Talks from the Bible, Monday through Friday. The time of those programs is 6:55 a.m. and 10:55 a.m. Salute ye one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Romans 16:16. The term Churches of Christ in this passage of Scripture is not a formal name for the church, but rather it signifies the churches from whom Paul was bringing greetings to the Roman brethren. These churches, of course, belong to Christ. I want us to notice this phrase of Scripture and what it means to us. This is the meaning that God had in mind when this phrase, Churches of Christ, was used in the pages of Scripture. First, Churches of Christ shows ownership. The church belongs to Christ. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus had come into Caesarea Philippi. There he had asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You will recall that these disciples told him various judgments that men had of him. Some believed him to be Elias. Some believed him to be Jeremiah. Others believed him to be one of the prophets. But all of these opinions of Jesus were incorrect. Sometimes we can have the wrong opinion of another individual. All of these judgments about Jesus were wrong. And then the question which Jesus asked his disciples was this, "But whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" It was at this time that the Apostle Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus made this statement in Matthew 16:18, "And I say also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "shall not prevail against it." Jesus promises to build my church. The church would belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And hence the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Roman Christians, uses the phrase, Churches of Christ. Paul was writing from all of those churches that belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church belongs to Christ because Jesus has established the church. Therefore, the church belongs to Him. This title shows ownership. The church wears the name of Christ because the church belongs to Christ. But this phrase, Churches of Christ, also shows our separation. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul had written to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was addressed as the Church of God, which is at Corinth. The church also belongs to God. What belongs to Christ belongs to God. What belongs to God belongs to Christ. Christ and God were one. Jesus had come as the Son of God. He had taken upon Himself human flesh and had come into the world as the Son of God. The Apostle Paul then calls these people to separate themselves from the world. "Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be unto me as sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." The Apostle Paul wants us as the church to separate from the world. The church is that institution that belongs to Christ because He is the builder of the church, and we have come into Christ having separated ourselves from the world. As we call ourselves the church, we simply show that we have separated from the world and that we now belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have surrendered ourselves unto Him. We give our allegiance unto Him. We confess Him as the Lord and the Savior of our life. It is to Jesus that we belong. It is Jesus that we follow. It is Jesus that we honor in our life. Rather than living in the world and living according to the works of the flesh, we follow Jesus and separate ourselves from the world and from the flesh and from the sinful influence that is present in the world and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk in His steps. We strive to imitate His life. We seek to become as He is and live the life that He lived so that we can be known as Christians. The term churches of Christ shows this separation, this decision of life that we have made in coming forth from the world and following Christ. Thirdly, the term churches of Christ shows our identity. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul said, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." The church is identified as a body in the pages of Scripture. This body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, He has been made the head of the church, and the church is His body. We therefore belong to Christ. We are the church of Christ. This shows our identity. This phrase identifies who we are in this present world. We are the church, showing that we are people who have separated ourselves from the world and who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, after Paul had discussed the mighty power of God and had explained that that mighty power of God rested in the resurrection from the dead, the apostle says that hath put all things under His feet. God has put all things under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. As the head of the church, Jesus is the authority of the church. The church follows the rules of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ. In John chapter 17 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul, or Jesus rather, Himself, said, "If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or whether it be of God." If one wills to do the will of Christ, then he will know the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. In order to do the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be aware of the doctrine of Christ. We must know the teaching of Christ. The teaching of Christ, of course, has been revealed in the pages of Scripture. We have a book that we call the Bible, which is the Word of God. This Word is the teaching of the inspired apostles as God has revealed His will unto us. The Bible is the very mind of God. It is the thinking of God. When we read and study and learn the Bible, we know the thinking of God. We can read the very thoughts of the Heavenly Father. And we seek to do that will. Hence, we become the body of Christ. As Jesus is the head of the church, He is the authority of the church. The Bible contains the rule by which the church is to live. Even the name of the church is identified for us in Scripture, the churches of Christ. The church belongs to Jesus because He has promised to build the church. The church shows our separation from the world, and it shows our identity as the people of God. We are the people of God, known as the church, who live under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives are directed by the will of Christ. Jesus, in Luke 6, verse 46, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And if we have the desire to do His will, then we shall know of the doctrine that He has presented unto us through the Bible. Fourthly, the term churches of Christ shows our dependency. We are dependent upon Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 1, 1 and 2, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is the Lord of all of those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. As a result of having been sanctified in Christ Jesus, we are saints. Those who are sanctified, identified as saints, are a part of the church of God. Paul writes to this particular church located in the city of Corinth. He identifies them as those who are sanctified, those who are saints. They are such because they have called upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have surrendered ourselves to Jesus. Hence, we are dependent upon Jesus. Jesus, as the head of the church, directs the church, nurtures the church. He gives life to the church by His very own life. We have surrendered ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ as we call upon the name of Christ. The place where we call upon the name of the Lord is baptism. Acts 22:16, Saul of Tarsus was instructed by the preacher Ananias, "And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." There are two divine actions that take place in baptism. First, our sins are remitted. They are removed. We no longer are under the guilt of the sins that we have committed because they have been washed away in baptism. Secondly, we call upon the name of the Lord when we are baptized. When Scripture says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," does not mean that we call out, "Lord, Lord," but rather it means that we perform an act of obedience. The Bible calls this act of obedience baptism, and hence we become dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We surrender ourselves to Him. He becomes our Lord as well as our Savior. Fifthly, the term churches of Christ shows our abiding. We abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As the apostle writes this passage of Scripture, unto the church which is located in the city of Thessalonica, he declares the location, the place of abiding of the church. The church is in God the Father. The church is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are to receive God's grace and God's peace, if God is to be our Father and Jesus Christ is to be our Lord, then we must be in the church. We must abide in the body of Christ so that God becomes our Father and Jesus becomes our Lord. The blessings of this abiding, according to 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 1, is grace and peace. We are in God, we are in the Lord Jesus Christ as the church. Acts 2, verse 47 says concerning those who were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, as the first gospel sermon was proclaimed, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those who were saved were added to the church. They became the building blocks of this living house, as the church is identified within the pages of Scripture. Those who are saved become the church. We do not join the church of our choice, for there is no choice. There is only the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. There is only the church that has been established by the Lord Jesus Christ and that has been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. The term churches of Christ shows ownership, shows our separation, shows our identity, shows our dependency, and shows our abiding. The church is God's creation. God has brought the church into existence. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul discusses what he calls the mystery of Christ. He writes concerning this mystery so that those who were in the city of Ephesus and members of the church could have an understanding of this mystery. He says that this mystery was written in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge. Verses 3 and 4 of Ephesians 3. In verse 5, he says that the mystery was hidden in other ages, but has now been made known unto the sons of men. The means by which God had made known the mystery unto the sons of men was through the holy apostles and prophets, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, or the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This mystery was, he says in verse 6, was that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. As a minister, verse 7, Paul had made known this mystery. In verse 10 and 11, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The apostle says that the mystery of God is the revelation of the gospel to the Gentiles that is to be made known by the church. The church, he declares, was according to the eternal purpose of God. This plan or this purpose was purposed in Christ Jesus, meaning that through Christ this purpose would be fulfilled. The church, therefore, is God's creation. God has brought the church into existence by His divine power. The means by which this power worked was through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was born into the world of the Virgin Mary. He lived a life of absolute perfection. He approved Himself before God by miracles, signs, and wonders, Acts 2, verse 22. And by wicked hands He was crucified and slain. God, on the third day, raised Him up from the dead and declared Him to be the Lord of lords and King of kings. Jesus then lived for a period of time upon the earth and then ascended back to His heavenly Father in heaven, where He was sat on the right hand of Almighty God, and where He rules even unto this hour, 1 Peter 3, verse 22. As the creation of God, I want us to notice that the church was promised by Christ. Jesus said, Matthew 16, 18, I will build My church. This building would not even be prevented by the gates of Hades or by death. Jesus would die upon the cross. He would be buried in a tomb, but on the third day He would rise to life once more. The grave, death, could not prevent the promise that Jesus made concerning the building of His church. Secondly, we notice that the church is God's creation because the church has been purchased by Christ. In Acts 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul had talked to the elders in the city of Ephesus and said, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." Jesus purchased the church with His own blood, with divine blood, with the blood of the Son of God. Jesus purchased the church. The church, therefore, belongs to Christ. Hence, the church wears His name. The church of Christ shows that Jesus is the owner of the church because of the purchase price that He paid for the church. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, Paul has written to the church of God at Corinth. He says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The church is to glorify God because the church has been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. In His death upon the cross, Jesus paid for the church. Hence, the church has become what Paul calls in Ephesians 1 and verse 14, a purchased possession. That which is purchased belongs to the one who has purchased. Jesus has purchased the church, and therefore the church belongs to Him. The church is God's abiding place. In Ephesians chapter 2 at verses 19 through 22, Paul says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The apostle speaks of those Ephesians who had made this spiritual transition from sin to becoming God's abiding place. No longer were they strangers and foreigners, but now they were fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In verse 22, Paul refers to the church as the habitation of God, the dwelling place of God. Verse 21, he refers to this building as being fitly framed together and grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. Hence, the church is important to Almighty God because the church is the place where He abides. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Paul refers to the church of the living God as the house of God, hence God's abiding place. Fourthly, the church is God's creation in that the church is the proclaimer of truth. In the passage just noticed, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is that upon which the truth stands, and from the church is to go forth the truth. In Ephesians 3 and verse 10, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." The church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God. The reason that we bring this program to you from the South Commerce Street Church of Christ is because it is our intent to proclaim the truth of God. We desire to make known unto you the truth which has the power to save your soul. In 1 Corinthians 1, 21 through 24, "For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." The purpose of the Church of Christ is to make known unto lost humanity the power and the wisdom of Almighty God. We speak of the redemption that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ through the blood that was shed upon the cross. We make known the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is the summation of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. The church makes that gospel known so that those who will hear, believe, and obey through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism will be saved from sin. The churches of Christ salute you. It is my prayer and hope that you will see the importance of this passage of Scripture. It is my prayer and my plea that you will understand the tremendous importance of the church in your life, and that through your faith, your repentance, your confession, and your immersion in water, you will choose to become a member of the Church of Christ. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.